welcome, welcome to Pocketoid, the internet's longest running handheld video game podcast. And that is kind of a freaking weird thing to say. If you are just joining us, this is Pocketoid episode 100. And my name is Jordan / Shackle27. Joining me, as always, is my extremely handsome co-host.
It's me, Addison.
And this episode, this week, is a very special episode. We have some special guests with us, and I'll go ahead and list them now. We have the cast of Destructoid's Retro Force Go podcast. First of all, we have Colette Bennett.
Hi! I didn't even own a Game Boy, just letting y'all know.
Perfect. We have Topher Cantler.
Cha. I don't have anything Game Boy related to say. And you told me to prepare a thing, and I didn't. I didn't listen to you at all.
That's okay. I'm used to that. I work with Addison. We have Stella Wong.
I used to take pictures with my Game Boy camera of my cat.
Oh, yeah.
I wish we had some of those to use as the show post. That'd be fantastic. I wish there was a way to digitally transfer Game Boy camera pictures. Okay, I'm getting off topic. And finally, we have Dyson.
Hello. Yeah, I had a Game Boy back in the day, and I also, there was this kid in my grade who's a real dick, and he like dropped his in the hallway, and so I picked it up and he didn't see, and I sold it to someone else, and then he was like, "You sold my Game Boy," and I'm like, "No, I didn't. I don't know you."
Luckily, I think the statute of limitations is passed on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, he was a dick. I didn't care.
Also, I wish that we could say we had Chad with us this week, but Chad Conselmo is kept prisoner firmly in Reggie's tight grasp. And so he is not joining us this week, but we will have something from Chad a little later on. We love our dude and we are so happy for him and the work he's doing at Nintendo, but you know, because of that, he can't be here this week, but that's okay. It's fine.
He's still a good, lovely boy.
He's still a wonderful man.
I still love him.
He's the best boy.
So, yeah. All right. Well, first of all, I just wanted to go ahead and talk about Retro Force Go a little bit, because just in case some of our listeners were not familiar with that podcast, Retro Force Go was a podcast at Destructoid, I think from what, 2006 to 2009, right? Is that correct? Or is it 2007, 2009? Somewhere
I'll go with that.
Sure.
Yeah, I think so.
It was a podcast.
I'm not good with time.
Yeah, me neither at all. So
it's been like 10 years.
Lost all sense of time.
Yeah. Don't say it's been 10 years. Good God. That's crazy.
You old, son. You old.
Because no. I started listening to that show. I'm about to make you feel old because I started listening to that show when I was in high school, and now I'm 30.
Oh, my God.
Whoa. Yeah. We're so old.
Well, this has been great, guys. Have a good show. I'm leaving now.
We're also old. We're like, what is technology? Like, we don't even know what we're doing.
Yeah.
We both were listening to that show about the same time that we met each other.
Yeah.
It's like one of the things that we kind of bonded over.
Well, that's kind of that's what's crazy is so Addison and I, even though we lived in the same town, we were not friends. We met through Destructoid, and which is kind of weird. We had a weird internet meetup here in town. But the way that I came to Destructoid.
And it's not like a big town.
No, it's not. We are like a town of 50,000. So that's kind of crazy. But like the way that I came to Detoid was actually through you guys' podcast, because, you know, I was an 18-year-old kid who just went onto iTunes and searched retro video game podcast, and I was like, hey, Retronauts is kind of nice, but I want something that feels more fun, and you guys were the only other option, and it was a great
option. Yeah, we were.
More fun by default.
Yeah, no. I like those guys, but I was like, "Whoa, why do you do a podcast if there's, you know, Retronauts?" And I was like, "Cause we have jokes."
Yeah,
they have lots of jokes.
We got some goof em ups.
Yeah, goofs. It's great. but first of all, before we get started, I just wanted to say thank you to you guys for all the hard work that you did on that show, because we wouldn't have done our show if it hadn't been for that, and also we wouldn't be friends.
Yeah.
Aw,
that's just kind of
awesome.
Crazy to me.
So. I'm like, my old man heart is melting. It's so sweet.
Yeah. And also this, I mean, obviously Pocketoid wouldn't exist.
No, absolutely not.
If it weren't for Retro Force Go.
No.
Like, Retro Force Go is a huge influence for the show. And in a lot of ways, it's modeled after it. And yeah, it just means a lot to us.
Yeah, it does. So.
Aww.
Well, I wanted to hear about you guys for a little while. You've all been kind of, I don't know, scattered now. I don't know if... I don't think any of you are at Destructoid right now, right? Topher, I thought I saw something. You write something not that long ago, but I could be wrong about that.
Whenever I was Googling Retroforce Go, like, one of the first things that came up was, like, some spiritual successor that they were doing last year, and I thought I saw...
Retroid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know what happened to that. We did, like, 4 episodes, and then they stopped calling.
I remember I was on an episode.
It's maybe still going without me.
Oh, yeah,
no, I ran into Calamari at PAX. Yeah, we were hanging out, and I was like, "Is this still going on?" And he's like, "No." he was busy. It's just like, you know, real life and stuff, I think. So just like, I think he's gonna bring it back. I'm not really sure, but I think he just couldn't get people to want to come on like every week or something like that. I don't know. I forget. It was PAX. I was just like, oh. I was like, what happened? Yeah, and then we went and got beers.
That, though.
That sounds like
yeah, it was fun.
So I guess
podcasting.
So I have one question for you all first, before we get into your things, and that is what the hell? You told me that episode 100 wasn't gonna be the last one, and then it was. And I know this was 10 years ago, but I'm still kinda salty. Anyway, you don't have to answer that.
But here's the thing. We say that, and then you're like, God, you know what? 100 episodes is a fucking lot of podcasts, and
is.
I don't want to have to, like, show. We showed up 100 times. Like, that's a lot.
It is a lot.
It's like 100 Sundays in a row.
And that's why I'd like to make an announcement today. I'm just joking. I'm just kidding.
I have to make commitments to reviews. We can't do that. I was listening to an episode of Retroforce Go on the way here, and I'm sure you definitely remember saying this, Colette, but in it you said that if I bought a copy of Retro Game Challenge and Fragile got localized in the US, that you would bring me a cake, and I don't have a cake.
That's awesome.
I have fucked up. Well, shit. I didn't remember that at all, but I know there's probably a cake service that I can call, so we should talk about that.
Get cookie puss cake?
Yes. Yeah.
You like Carvel? That's an old East Coast joke.
Yeah, well. I was going to say. So anyway, I wanted to hear what you guys have been up to. So I want to hear, first of all, from Colette. Colette, what are you doing these days?
I'm trying to... write books. And the operative there is trying, but I am really excited to share that I did publish my first fiction story in print. It's called The Spacewalk, and it's being distributed in a anthology called The Corona Book of Sci-Fi. It's on Amazon now, and it's like $3 to download a copy. So if you're interested in reading that foray, please go check it out. I think that I'm really flattered to be in the book. I think the writers in it are really good. It's great. And I'm actually on the third draft of a sci-fi young adult novel, which I really hope that in the next couple years I can talk about that too. So
I was hoping.
It's great.
Damn.
I'm pretty happy.
I was hoping you'd mention that because I wanted to tell you I really enjoyed your short story. So
you read it? Oh my God. Thank you. That makes me like, it's like so weird. I don't expect anybody to actually go read it. So every time they're like, I did, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, I saw you mention it on your Instagram story, and I was like, I'm going to go pick that up so I can tell her I liked it on the show.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to go pick that up and get it on my Kindle.
Yay, that makes me happy.
Aw, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. Topher, what about you? What have you been up to?
Nothing.
just waiting for everybody to call back.
Just chilling.
I'll wait for people like you to invite me on their podcast as like former... guy who used to do a thing.
Yeah.
Like, hey, kids, remember Retro Force Go?
Show up to convention.
No, I did
$20 for a picture.
Yeah, I left Destructoid and did a cartoon that didn't go so well, and I did a storybook series that didn't go so well. So now I just kind of have like a grown up job.
Yeah, those
like
are
an income, and you know.
Hey, guess what? You did more than I did, though, because I didn't make a cartoon or a children's book series. Good Lord.
You shouldn't have. The cartoon, though. I don't recommend it.
I've heard that. All right, Stella, what about you? What have you been up to, Stella? I think you're the only one I regularly talk to like on Twitter, so I'm interested to hear what you've been doing.
Nothing. Just like Topher. I don't to show for it, except I play a lot of video games, and I still play old retro games from time to time. Yeah.
Sweet.
That's it.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And then what about you, Dyson? What have you been doing?
I just started doing video games PR, and I've been doing that for what seems like a lifetime. And I don't know, these days, just looking for something new to do. I'm helping out my friends from Akupara Games. They're releasing a game on December 11th called Desert Child. It's kind of like a little bit, it's like a pixel hover bike racing game, like a little No More Heroes, little Cowboy Bebop flair. And yeah, it's coming to Switch, so get ready.
All right.
Well, everything needs to be on Switch.
What was the name of that again?
Desert Child?
Desert Child.
Okay, I'm going to look it up. Sweet.
I'm sure we will be reviewing that here shortly. Then.
I'll throw it on the list.
Hell yeah, you will. No, and let me know. I'll hook you up with some codes for review.
Sick.
Definitely.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, and if you guys are curious what Addison and I have been up to, that nothing. Just
a lot of video games.
We ate a lot of candy on Halloween.
Yeah.
And watched From Beyond.
Yeah.
It's great.
That movie was so cool. And then I watched. Have you watched The Night Comes for Us yet?
No, I haven't.
It's so good.
I'm sorry.
I think about that movie a lot now.
Well, yeah, and we've been playing just a god-awful amount of Switch games. Holy shit, stop sending us Switch games. And why are they all so good?
There's too much now. We're at a point there's too much to play on the Switch. I can't. Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I can't either.
I'm going to go play this new game. And then I'm like, actually, whoops, I'm playing Taiko again. And okay, I'll only play two songs. And then, I played 20.
I buy a lot for Switch now, and... Honestly, I I've been playing so much Zelda still.
I started playing Red Dead, and I don't like Red Dead that much. And playing it, it made me think, you know what is a lot better is Zelda. And then I've been playing more Zelda.
Yeah, I bought it on Wii U because I think I was just doing freelance when the Switch came out, and I was like, yeah, I don't. Really, I mean, the only game they had that I wanted, like when it launched, was Zelda, but I had a Wii U, so I was like, I'll just spend $60 instead of $360. And so I put it, and the Wii U tracks how long you play, and I finally like did everything I wanted to do with the DLC, and you know, more or less, and it was like 280 hours I put into it. Yeah. Oh, don't. This is half the story, buddy.
Oh no.
So then, the Switch. I finally was like, oh, all right, I'll get a Switch with some more games out there I want. I love it, and I was like, oh, I'll just buy Zelda again. You know, like maybe I'll play it again someday. And you can't check how many hours you put into it on the Switch, but probably like another 150. Like, actually, just like easily 100.
You can go to your profile.
I'm just like going.
It shows you how long you've played. It's like, I don't think it's as accurate as the Wii U one, but it'll say
it's
like,
within like 5 or 10 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
It'll show you how much you've played.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Well, someone was saying it wasn't in there, and I was like, all right. And I was like, do I really want to look?
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't even know where is that in there.
You just click
if
on
you
your
just
profile.
You just click on your
then,
profile.
Yeah.
Profile. It's right on there.
It's like over to the
right. Cool. Right on. So yeah, so I bought Golf Story. I bought that Owl Boy one. I've been playing barely any. I just put on Zelda. I'm just like, smoke some weed and play some Zelda.
Both of those games are really good, though. I like Owl Boy and Golf Story a lot.
Yeah, actually, I've been playing a little more Golf Story. It was dope. Like on a plane doing it, but it was pretty fun. I tried getting into the Messenger. Was it that ninja game?
Yeah. Yep.
And I don't think I've made it to the point where the game. Like, and I'm doing air quotes, like twists, so it's still just like this ninja game. I just kind of dropped off. Everyone was like, oh, it's the best since Shovel Knight, and I was like, really?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you, that was my thought too. You should keep going.
okay so here, Legend of Zelda, I've played for 125 hours or more on
good
the
Lord,
Switch.
God,
wow. It's like 400 hours in total.
Yeah, it's so good though.
Yeah.
It's so I'm addicted. Yeah,
and like both my fiance and I played individual runs of it, and both of us played like 130. I think 130 hour, like 135 or something like that. And I I just like last week, I was like, I know some stuff's coming out, I know there's new stuff, but I just want to hang out in Hyrule. Like, yeah, that's what I want to do. And so I just booted it up like I had never played it and just started it again. And I was like, God, this is great.
It's so good. It's such a just special game.
Yeah, it is. Oh no, here we go. We're doing another Breath of the Wild episode.
I'm okay with that.
320 hours, maybe?
Damn. Gosh.
Yeah, I thought
so good. My Splatoon hours.
Oh no! Oh, actually, I think we're friends on the Switch, and I think I've seen that.
Oh yeah,
it's like 1,085.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
You're one of those Splatoon players.
I can't believe Chad hasn't like tapped you for being like a Splatoon spokesperson. Because like when I think of, I'm no joke, when I think of Splatoon, I think of you. I'm just like, oh yeah.
That's true.
Everyone's like Splatoon. And they're like, oh, here's this new Splatoon map. And I'm like, Topher's going to love that.
And I've got like over 2,000 hours in the first one too. So
wow. Holy moly.
Wow.
It's a lot of
space. Me and Topher used to play the first one all the time.
I want to hop into our main topic for this week. Is that cool with you guys?
Totally.
No.
Okay. Well, show's over, everybody. See y'all next week. I hope you had a good episode. And we're going to jump into our main topic, which this week is the Game Boy. Because you guys always in the old Retro Force Go show, you would talk about like your favorite Game Boy games a lot, or they would kind of just factor in here or there. But I always wanted to hear about like, hey, what Game Boy games do you like? Or what memories do you have with that line of systems? You know, if you don't, that's fine. But I also wanted to hear just what you thought about, like, the console itself. So, the Game Boy was released in 1989, and which is crazy to me because, like, you know, the Game Boy Color didn't even come out until, what, like, 2000 or something like that? Or no, it was 98. But it's like you had, like, a 10-year console before it even went to color, which is crazy. But first of all, I want to just dive into, like, our lists and stuff, especially because we have one very, very special list from a very special boy. And I was wondering if Colette Bennett would do the honors of reading us that list and everything that comes with it.
Okay, I would love to read this list, but I just want to warn everybody in advance that this is only going to be half as good as if Chad were reading it himself. So please go easy on me, but a letter from Chad Kinselmo.
Oh.
Hey everyone, so sorry I couldn't participate in this amazing podcast in person. Working with Nintendo is great, but there are pretty strict rules about what I can and cannot talk about.
I'm already hearing this in his voice, even though it's your voice.
And I see him like holding the paper too, like he's in front of class and he's like, hey everyone.
This is my book report on the Game Boy.
Nintendo is great, but there are really strict rules about what I can and cannot talk about when it comes to speaking about video games in public. Obviously, I would love to have loved to be there to hang out with the best people ever. Retro Force Go for life!
Oh. Yes.
But when Addison asked me to at least send in a written contribution, I jumped at the chance. Anything for him and the Pocket Toy Gang. And, oh my God, I got to make a list, which, as some of you may know, is my favorite thing to do. So here is a list of my top 10 favorite Game Boy games of all time. I was going to include Game Boy Advance, but that would be the longest list ever since I love so many of those games. So I decided to just stick to the four-color OG. Feel free to discuss and tell me I am wrong, but don't be too mean. I'm not there to defend myself. Do you guys want me to go ahead and read the full list?
Oh, hell
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Legend of Zelda, Oracle of Seasons, Oracle of Ages. I can never decide which of two charming games I like the most. Number 9, Metroid 2 Return of Samus. The recent Nintendo 3DS remake of this game is much better than its inspiration, but this is still a classic that I used to play all the time as a kid. 8. Final Fantasy Adventure. I think this is technically the very first Mana game, but they named it Final Fantasy, I guess, because it would help sell it more. Whatever the reason, I love this game so much. 7. Gargoyle's Quest. I haven't played this game in years and worry it might be better in my memory than in reality, but goddamn, I used to play this game over and over.
But goddamn.
I knew that one was coming because...
Oh, it's okay. Did you want to go ahead?
No, I was going to say, I just remember him talking about Gargoyle's Quest so much on RF Go, and I was like, when's it coming?
He loved it. Yeah. Number six, Super Mario Land 2, 6 golden coins. Wario's first appearance in a game ever. 5, Kirby's Dream Land 2. The Kirby games on Game Boy were good. This one was the best. Number 4, Tetris. Obviously, this had to go on the list. Remember how when you finish it, the space shuttle would take off? That was weird.
Oh my gosh, Chad, I love you.
Number 3, Pokemon Blue. I'm sure Pokemon Red was just great, but I only play Blue, so it's the only one going on this list. Number 2, Donkey Kong. This game is so good. Please make sure you read that. This is written in all caps.
Oh, God.
One of the most consistent and clever games on Game Boy, this shockingly long game was a huge surprise and was this close to being my favorite game on the system. Mm-hmm. Number 1, The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. Is there any other game I could put in the top spot? Not only is this the best Game Boy game, it's one of the best games in the Legend of Zelda series. Oh, and just because I don't want to leave them out, my 3 runners-up were Wario Land, Super Mario Land 2, Kirby's Kingdom Land, and Castlevania 2 Belmont's Revenge.
Hell yeah.
By the way, that was 4. God.
No wonder you worked for Nintendo.
I knew you were it feels so good to be able to write a list again. Thanks for reading it, and thanks for letting me come on the show, at least the written version of me. I miss you all so much. Now you can talk about how perfect the list is and how you would make no changes.
Oh, it's not wrong.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, I think I've played like 5 games on the Game Boy. I don't remember. I forgot actually that Oracles of Seasons and Ages was originally Game Boy.
I only played Oracles, but you had to like play one and the other, and they both came out at the same time. I didn't know which one to play for.
It doesn't matter. Like if you play one, then like it unlocks something in the other, and then vice versa. Like you beat it.
I don't remember.
A weapon or something like that? Or like you get a code?
I honestly think it was that you couldn't fight the real final boss until you connected them.
Awakening.
Okay. Yeah, Link's Awakening I tried to play, but that was just a weird game.
It's the best.
Yeah, it's so good.
It was so odd, and I got stuck in a lot of areas where it was just like, you know, you're like, oh, you have to go talk to these like 5 different people, and then like something happens.
They're like side quests, though. They're not.
Yeah, they weren't clear though. Like, bear in mind, I tried playing this as an adult, not as like a chilled child with like tons of free time. You know, I was like, oh, I gotta play this game. Everyone says it's the best, and I'm a Game Boy Color, and I put it in, and it's just like, you know, I got far, but it was just like I'm stuck somewhere. I don't know. And then I was just like, fuck it.
It does have a really, really, really obtuse kind of world progression, because I think because the game's so tightly contained, like the whole world is super dense. And so sometimes I remember whenever I played it, I beat it a couple years ago, but when I was younger and played it, I got lost all the time, but it still felt like this really weird, cohesive, like, I like how Addison said it's the Twin Peaks of Zelda, because it does have kind of that weird vibe.
Yeah, wow. It's just like, you know, the next town's like full of chain chomps, and you're like, that's odd, okay.
Yep. I remember reading a few years ago that the development of that game, they like started working on it just like in their free time, like after work.
Yeah, just like a passion project.
Yeah, and then like they were like, just to see if they could do it, and then they were like, oh, we totally could turn this into a full game, and it kind of has that vibe, which is what I've always liked about it.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I also love that Chad put Donkey Kong on there, because Donkey Kong is like, I remember when I was a kid, I thought that was just, oh, it's just Donkey Kong, but no, like hell no, there's like 100 levels or something, like there's so much donk in that Kong. There's a ton.
You've been waiting all show to say that, I bet.
I literally just thought of it.
Yes, even better.
That makes it even better.
What about you guys? I want to know what some of your favorite Game Boy games were.
Dracula?
Oh, Kid Dracula? Yeah, Kid Dracula is great.
Yeah. I
didn't put it. I was expecting him to say it, but.
Well, I made a somewhat proper list because I don't know if I ever really talked about this on Retroforce, but the Game Boy was actually my first piece of video game hardware that I owned.
Oh, rad.
Wow.
Poor when we were kids, and like, you know, you played NES at your buddy's house or whatever, but the first one that I ever had that was mine was a Game Boy. So I played the shit out of it.
Well, what games? So, give us the list. I want to hear.
Okay, so Final Fantasy Adventure.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Is, I guess these aren't really sort of in order, maybe?
That's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
The
list.
Dr. Mario was one that I played. Mm-hmm. And still to this day, like if I play Dr. Mario on the Famicom or on the NES, it's weird, like the colors.
These colors are really just killing my
life.
Like,
this is supposed to be black and gray.
Wasn't it darker?
Green.
Red, and then it was light for the yellow.
I still, like, my brain can't do that. Like, I still am better at it on Game Boy than I am. Heihankyo Alien?
Say that again?
Heihankyo Alien?
No, I've not even heard of that.
No.
Those aren't words.
Is what it's Kyoto. It's what Kyoto was called, like in the Edo period, maybe or something. But
what is
you
that
just
game?
You have a map, and you have these little like these little aliens land, and they just run around everywhere, and you have to dig holes on the map, and the aliens will fall into the hole, and you have to like run over and cover them up real quick.
Oh, okay.
Before they can get out.
I would have just assumed
it's really
a
fun
Mahjong game.
Yeah, like Mahjong. It's like, yeah, it's like a Romance of the Three Kingdoms game. No, that sounds actually really fun.
It was an old arcade game with sort of like Atari 2600 kind of level graphics, like 4-bit graphics. And then they remade it for the Game Boy, and it was great. It was great. And the soundtrack is slapping or bang. What do the kids call it nowadays?
Whatever. It's interchangeable.
It slaps?
Yes.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, it slaps. That's what they say.
I never heard of that.
Oh, my God.
Super Mario Land.
Like the first one?
Of course. Yeah, the first one. I didn't play the second one.
Oh, God.
Come with the Game Boy?
Yeah, I think it did at the beginning, like at the launch. I think it came with the Game Boy.
Mine came with Tetris.
Yeah, so never mind.
Mine came with
Tetris. No, I was wrong. My bad.
I didn't know Super Mario Land was part of it because I remember those two games specifically when I first had the Game Boy.
I think that came out later. Mm. I don't know. Kix or Quix, Q-Q-I-X. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, I played a lot of that too.
I remember trying to avoid, what is it, a spark
was
trying to come into your line when you were making like shapes and trying to fill the whole screen, right?
Well, the spark would like follow the line that you were making, and then there was that like wave pattern thing.
It would try to come and invade you, and if it hits you while you're making a shape, you game over.
Yeah, that was really fun. I don't know what happened to that. Like, there's never been another.
I remember playing that a lot too.
I don't remember seeing that anything after the Game Boy. That was really fun, kind of. I don't know if you'd call it a puzzle game, sort of.
Wasn't that on the NES too?
Sort
of? No, it wasn't. I don't remember. Yeah, I know. I don't know anything else though, but I hear people mention it once in a while.
That's, I just got the like Retro Force Go flashbacks where like, hey, wasn't this on this thing? I don't remember.
No, it totally wasn't on this thing.
Maybe? I don't know.
I remember I was listening to one podcast. I was listening to another podcast around that because like Retro Force was my first podcast and my second one was Fast Karate for the Gentleman, which is also great. But I was listening to Fast Karate one time and they were like, I tuned into this podcast called Retro Force Go, and they were talking about the art of fighting, and they said it came out like on something, and I was just like, "What the hell? No, it didn't." And I was like, "Why are you hosting a retro podcast if you don't know that?" And like, I was like, "Chill out, guys. Like, come on."
Someone needs to talk to them. People make mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I don't think I ever researched a single thing for the entire show.
The thing on that show. Remember that guy? There was some guy with a blog tried to like fact check us on.
Good lord.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He has too much time on his hands.
Really?
I remember that. Yeah, the kid was like, it was back during like when blogs were king, and he was just like, five things wrong with Retro Force Go, and like, legitimately, we got like one or two things wrong, but we're kind of like, even on the show, we're just like, hey, we're not experts, we're just here.
Just going off by memory, though.
Yeah. And, but then I wrote him a letter, and I was just like, do you mind? Because like you wrote one thing like one of us had got something like a wrong system or wrong year, wrong platform, like one of those two things. And then, 5 minutes later in that very same show, like someone had Googled it and was like, oh, hey, we're wrong. It's like it was the Genesis or something, like that. And then, but he had like, you know, he was just trying to get attention, I felt. And I was just like, you know, just like if you're going to be a dick, be a dick, you know. But like, don't, you know, don't lie. Like, and also, you know, like you're... This if you literally listen for five more minutes, we're just like, oh, wow, we got this wrong. Like, yeah.
Joke's on him. We didn't care if we were wrong.
Exactly. I don't care if I'm wrong either. I just cared that, like, we got to have fun together, which I feel like that was the whole heart of what we did.
Yeah. Dick.
And like yeah. I'm gonna say this. I think that's why I keep going back to Retro Force Go all these years later. There's something about it that feels lost in kind of the way that we talk about older games now. I think there's so many resources out there now. Hardcore Gaming 101 is great. Of course, there's so many like YouTube channels that talk about retro games. It seems like we're sort of inundated with like just all this knowledge about what, you know, but like, I remember Retro Force Go, it was just sort of like, do you guys remember Tetris Attack? Like, that game's great. Like, and it's just, how many times does that happen? We don't have conversations like that anywhere else now. And it kind of makes me sad a little bit, but.
Well, now there's like Virtual Console and there's you know, all the.
The units. Super Nintendo Classic.
Yeah. We didn't really have much of that back when we were doing the show. We were kind of the only ones really talking about it aside from Retronauts.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking about this the other day, actually, because, you know, it's not uncommon every once in a while for someone to say, why don't you bring the show back? And, you know, and it's just like, well, I mean, do we need to?
Yeah.
Because it's like everything. I mean, there was a specific episode that we were talking about, like, you know, retro games were becoming popular again at the time we were recording. Yeah. You know, like XBLA just come out and like, you know, Virtual Console and stuff like that. And it was just like that. Even the shift in indie development was like, oh, we want to make pixel games now. And so that was, you know, what, 10, 12 years ago or something like that. And so now, you know, what? You'll be like, yeah, Shovel Knight's great. I think it's great. You think it's great? It's great. Cool. You know, it's just like, you know, like, yeah, it's just like, you're not, I mean, from the fun factor of it, I absolutely would love to, I mean, we could just do like, I don't know, our weekly pizza hour, like, and just whatever, just talk about
it. If it had stayed on these, what's it been? Like 12 years, whatever.
Yeah.
14. What the fuck would we be talking about?
True. Exactly. Yeah.
Like, oh, next week the 3D goggle connector peripheral thing for the Famicom had like two games on it.
And then we'd have an infinitely more amount of comments on the post that would be like, well, it's like the PS2 was my first system, and I'm like, we're old. Oh fuck.
Next week the AC adapter for the Atari.
I think that a lot of like Retro Force fans probably wouldn't want to hear this, but I think the show actually lasted exactly as long as it was supposed to last. Like, I think that if we had drug it out and tried to make it go on and on, it's like, yeah, of course, like we all love talking and love hanging out together, but like, you know what it's like when something drags on so long that it's not good anymore. We didn't do that. Like, we got to do it exactly how we wanted it.
And also, it's still totally listenable today, too. Like, you can go back and listen to those, and they still hold up, because you're talking about, you know, these older games that are still freaking awesome.
Well, the other thing is that, like, the systems and the games that we were talking about were stuff that we remember from our childhood. So, like, we could have gone on to do PlayStation and stuff, but I was fucking, like, 18, 17 or 18 when PlayStation came out.
Yeah, I was like...
You know, like, I'm not remembering, you know...
I could buy alcohol when it came out.
Yeah.
It's not that, stuff that came out when you were in your 20s is not the same. You're not going to get the same kind of conversation as you would talking about stuff that came out when you were 9 or 10 years old.
I actually tweeted at Topher when I turned 30, I think, or just a few months, like it was a few months ago. I tweeted at Topher and I was like, I remember on Retro Force Go one time when Topher Cantler said, you know, someone, the PlayStation can't be retro. It's only 10 years old. And I remember at the time thinking like, that's ridiculous. I love the PlayStation. It's totally retro. And then now I'm like, holy shit, the Wii is 10 years old. The PS3 is more than 12 years old.
that's crazy. I don't like thinking about that.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. And like, what would I mean? Yeah, and you're right. There's a lot of interesting things on YouTube now.
Yeah.
I actually watch a lot of stuff, and it's very like mini documentary style.
Yeah.
So it's kind of informative, like Gaming Historian. And there was one guy, Alloy or whatever, and it's like really cool and fun stories. Like, I even watched one on made by GameSpot that was like History of Castlevania, and it was cool. But it's like, yeah, you're right. No one's like joking. Like, they're not like, you know, it's just like, and this is what Simon Belmont did here. And you're like, that's informative. But then there's, you know, and that's it. Like, that's like yeah, it, you know, yeah. It's just like, okay. But that seems to be like the style that everybody's, you know, likes, yeah. I guess. I mean, I don't hate it. Like, I watch them. I'm to make that clear. Like, I enjoy watching these, but, you know, I don't know. I never, how much fun would a bunch of people have who are just like, yeah, here's just like four chuckleheads talking about shit, you know? But then, then again, I was like, well, we did make 100 episodes of that very same premise.
True.
And they were fucking awesome.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, man. They were fantastic.
Just wait, this is supposed to be on Game Boy, right?
Yes, it is. Hey, I don't freaking care. I knew it was going to devolve into this from day one. I was like, I'm just going to sit here. And someone's just going to say pizza rolls, and we're going to be done.
Oh, my God.
Someone's going to say pizza rolls, we're going to be done for the next hour and a half. So.
Yes.
I'll be the one that has to do it. Topher, was that the end of your list? Or do you have more?
Man, I don't know. I don't even. What were we talking about?
What
pizza rolls?
Pizza rolls, yeah. What are your favorite pizza roll flavors?
What's your top five pizza rolls?
I thought there was only three.
If you ask me, there's only one. Wait a minute.
Yes. Absolutely.
Wait, I have a story. In fact, I feel like Dyson's gonna know this story, but like the rest of you haven't heard it. So like probably, I don't know, 3 months ago or so, my fiance comes home with this like super excited look on his face. And he's like, look what I got. It's pizza rolls that have mac and cheese inside of them.
Get the fuck out. What?
And so he and I are like, oh my God.
Wait. Is it mac and cheese plus pizza or instead of pizza?
Wait, so what? Whoa. Mac and cheese pizza rolls? I'm Googling this right now.
I think they're called pizza rolls.
What? Totino's is going to drop mac and cheese pizza rolls. Oh my God, how were they?
The upsetting part, they actually weren't as good as actual pizza rolls. Oh, no. We were so excited and so hyped about it that like we made them and we were like, this is going to be the best ever. I was actually even thinking about Dyson. I was like, I'm going to send him a picture. This is going to be great. And we both tried them. We were like, why is this not good?
Oh my God. So is it Tostino's frozen pizza rolls, macaroni and cheese with bacon?
What?
I didn't have the bacon ones. That might change the game, but we had just the regular ones. And so that's
currently unavailable. God damn you, Amazon. Oh my God, I really thought that was going to be like, I was going to order it right now.
By the end of recording, they're in the oven.
Yeah,
Amazon.
Bringing
it back. Yeah, no, I got to keep an eye out for that. See, y'all, yeah. Like, everybody in the middle of the country, that's where they test food. So you get all these cool things. And then, you know, out here in California, there's like, the one thing I miss about living in Illinois is that when you go into a grocery store, they have every brand of a thing.
Yeah.
And then you come to California and they're just like, you know, if you're like, I would like ketchup, and they're like, cool, we have ketchup brand ketchup. You know, or it's like, or we carry two types of mayonnaise, Miracle Whip and mayonnaise. And you're like, okay.
I've heard some tales of a magical place called Trader Joe's, and it sounds like they've got some wild shit going on at Trader Joe's. I've heard about these crackers that taste like tomato soup. Like, what?
I think Stella and I could probably have plenty of Trader Joe's adventures.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah, Trader Joe's is kind of like where you shop if you someday want to shop at Whole Foods. Like,
it's Whole Foods Junior.
Yeah, you know, it's reasonably priced but also slightly nice. You know, they're just sort of like, you're like, oh, I got it at Trader Joe's instead of like Safeway. You know, because you know,
I saved the bag. It's got all kinds of little dudes doing stuff on it.
Yeah. That sounds dope. I'm still buying dinosaur chicken nuggets. So
I
don't
I can't say I haven't bought any of those in the last 5 years.
They're shaped like dinosaurs. What do you want?
I know. I mean, I'm
supposed
with you,
to
man.
Not
like...
buy the dinosaur nuggets? They're right there. They look like dinosaurs. I'm
I did
buy
the same
them.
Thing. I was like, I want chicken nuggets. And I get there and I'm just looking. It was the same. And I'm just like, well, why wouldn't I buy dinosaur shaped ones? Like,
chicken, oh, no, like, sorry. I'm much more refined. Same. I'm buying my chicken nuggets in nugget shape. Like, no, fuck off. I'm going to have fun with
it. Yeah, right? You're like, I'm an adult. And I was like, then why are you even buying chicken nuggets? Like,
check it out. You bite the head off, dip it in ketchup. It's blood.
No!
God,
nice. I like your style. I'm still on this mac and cheese thing now. I'm like, Totino's giving me. I want this so bad. There was Jack in the Box is a fast food chain out here, and they had and I think everybody had this at some point. Cross country was like that phase where deep fried mac and cheese bites became pretty popular. I tried it and I was like, oh, this is gross. But then after a night of drinking and I tried it again, I was like, these are delicious. They're literally only good when you're drunk. And I was like, oh, so if I don't like these macaroni and cheese pizza rolls, then I'm gonna get drunk. Yeah. And just see if they're good.
We were sober at the time. So I will say that I didn't think of that.
Oh my God. We've got these things called corn dodgers.
Yeah.
Are you guys aware of corn dodgers?
What the hell is corn dodgers, Addison?
Oh, Jordan doesn't even know what corn is. No, what if a tater tot just had corn in it?
Oh, God.
So those are like hush puppies, right?
Yeah, but...
No?
But, like, it's not... It doesn't have, like, bread. It's, like, it's got, like, a crispy, like, shell kind of thing, and it's, like, shaped similar to a tater tot, but it's just got corn in there.
Like, whole corn kernels?
Yeah. And then, like, some other, like, weird... thing going on, but I don't know. They're not good. We have them.
Why are they called dodgers?
I don't know. I think because you're supposed to dodge them.
Yeah. Supposed to like throw them at each other. And...
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. And I ate a few of them. And
it's like, here, this is sucks. Bad. It, like, don't accidentally get it in your mouth. Oh, no. I'm like, you have to dodge it. Dodge it so you don't accidentally eat it.
Man, a lot of things should have that dodger suffix. Don't get it in your mouth.
That's the
Tide Pods.
Don't get it in your mouth.
Tide Pods. Don't get it in your mouth.
There it is.
You know what else I love about
no,
pizza
kids.
Rolls, I love how portable pizza rolls are. I love that you can take them with you.
Yeah.
And you know,
just fill your pockets.
Yeah. The other thing that I love that's portable is the Game Boy. I love how.
Yes. Yes.
I tried to bring it back.
Oh, A+ transition. A+ transition. You sir, when a pizza roll world.
One of my favorite memories of the Game Boy was playing Game Boy while eating pizza rolls, and I think that the combination pizza roll is the one and only pizza roll, and it's great that you can buy a bag of 80 of them.
This is true. Yeah, true. Wow. All
right, Game Boy.
Okay, we'll talk about the Game Boy. Something that was there anybody else that had any other favorite games they wanted to mention that didn't get to, that had a list or something that they wanted to talk about? I didn't want to just move on.
I don't have a list, but I have one game. But there is a small tweak on it, which is that it was a Game Boy Advance game because I didn't have a Game Boy until Game Boy Advance.
That's fine. That's fine.
But the game that I loved was Rhythm Tengoku, and I played it over and over and over.
I have a Game Boy Micro, and I keep that in there. I keep it in there.
Yeah. I have a Game Boy SP right now with it inside right now.
I've kept so that good. Kept it because I just always want to be able to go back and play that game. And I really appreciate that they tried to kind of like, you know, do the game on bigger platforms and do other stuff with it. And I always thought they were good, but like something about the first one is like pitch perfect to me. I've never been able to finish it all the way either. It gets so hard.
Yeah.
But I just hope that maybe one day I will. You never know.
It has that little robot mini game where you can just like rock out and play the drums.
The drum where you just drum like continuously and do different beats. And the music will start rolling once you get really good at drumming.
Yeah.
It's a really cool mini game.
I played so much of Rhythm Heaven Gold, but it gets so hard.
Does Rhythm Heaven Gold have a
it's same so stuff hard. As
the first one? Or?
It's like a best of kind of collection. It's got like some new stuff, but it's also got a bunch of games from like all the other Rhythm Heaven games.
Oh, okay.
Well, if we're talking advanced, then Minish Cap.
Yeah.
Yes!
I was going to say.
I think one of the best Zelda games, period. Yes. It's still it's probably like my top three, maybe.
Preach.
Yeah, I would put that up there. And that's what I was going to say. Like, all right, I didn't have a Game Boy when it came out. So I basically had to play, like, my best friend in high school had one. And so, of course, he had Tetris and they had Super Mario Land. So I got to play. I was kind of at the behest of whatever his parents got him for Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, so like, you know, let's just say he didn't get that many games. But I forgot that the Oracle ones are out there. And actually, when the Game Boy Color came out, I went and I bought a bunch of the games that I didn't have a chance to play in that era. So I got Legend of Zelda, Link's Awakening. I got the Oracle and Seasons and Ages, and mainly focused on those. I got a copy of Super Metroid 2, which was super hard to find for some reason at the time. Yeah, it's just like, I guess no one bought that many copies. I don't know. It seems like a popular game. Yeah, so that's when I remember sitting there with the Game Boy Color, and one place I lived had like really poor lighting because you had to kind of point it at the sun. Oh, it wasn't God, backlit. Yeah. Yeah. And this is probably an embarrassing story, but I was trying to play through Link's Awakening the first time. So this was probably like 2001-ish. And the place in my apartment that had the best lighting was the bathroom. So I would just, yeah, like I wouldn't
what
play well.
What are you doing in there?
I'm combing my hair. don't come in. Yeah, but it was like I wasn't playing while going to the bathroom. I would just sit in there, like, you know, close the toilet seat and just sit down and play. And then, like, because it was just, I couldn't see it in any other light in my house. And that's how I played Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening.
You got to get on that worm light, my guy. That's what you got to do.
Oh, you know, there was just something about that. I don't know. It just, like, yeah. It was literally like it was designed for alien children. They're like, let's just put all these weird. Cord is a bubbly, like physical. I don't know. It was just so strange, and it was also kind of weak. Like, remember, it would just shine like on the kind of the middle of the screen.
It wasn't great.
Yeah, that was just like this, like something like your mom gets for you because she's like, now you can play in the car, and you're like, no, I guess.
It was great seeing those like the kids with the Game Boys that had like six different peripherals hooked up, like the screen magnifier and the worm light. And
the stereo thing came out. Thing.
Do you want me to
I've talked
mine?
About this on the show too.
I don't want to look at that.
This kit like it had fucking like external speakers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And there was a magnetic on top of the light.
Big magnifying glass with a light on it.
That's the one that
like
I had.
Like these things that went over the D-pad to make it into a kind of a stick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah! Oh, my God, I remember that.
That was the worst. Yeah, why would they even do that? Like, sure, the magnifying glass.
It's not portable now.
Light, but, yeah, it's like, why? I don't want a joystick on my stupid... Anyway.
You need, like, a fucking wheelbarrow to take your Game Boy with you.
Yeah.
I
10 AA batteries.
See, what's crazy to me about the Game Boy is like how long its life was. Because like we're talking about, I mean, I kind of consider Game Boy Color games to be Game Boy too, because a lot of them were also playable on the Game Boy. But it's just nuts to me how it lasted for like 10 years. Like that's insane. And it went. I mean, I guess the DS had a long lifespan too. But man, the Game Boy just seems like it was around forever.
It's literally a plastic brick.
Yeah, it's just like this big old brick.
It is like a brick.
Yeah, they've got that one at the like Nintendo World store that you know had been hit by like a bomb in Afghanistan or something.
Yeah,
like,
it was in a bunker in Iraq.
That's crazy.
It was in a barracks that got bombed and.
Still running.
I wasn't even because I didn't start playing games until like the late 90s when I was like around 11 or 12 or so, and I got. The Game Boy Pocket was actually my very first console, and I didn't even know about the big, fat Game Boys. I just thought they were all the size of the Game Boy Pockets when I was a kid.
Well, you kind of lucked out then.
Yeah.
Because I think, that only took, like, two batteries?
Yeah.
And it was much, like, you could, let me put it this way. You could actually fit it in a pocket.
Yep.
As opposed to, like...
Yeah.
Much thinner than the original.
Oh, yeah. I have a buddy. I was talking to my buddy about this the other day, and he was like, "Yeah, when I was in school, this kid tried to steal my Game Boy." And I'm like, "Well, what'd you do?" And he's like, "I hit him with my Game Boy."
That's really good.
He's dead now. That's how big that thing was. Oh man, yeah, I was just rustling through the drawer. I have a drawer that. So I still have my Game Boy Color. It might actually be the pocket one now that I think about it. So I was just looking, but I've got two Game Boy Advance SPs, one my Animal Crossing 3DS, my DS Lite, and then I got a lot of these over the years. All of them enjoyed. Yeah, I played more advanced games, to be honest, than because that's like right time I was like working, and Metroid Zero Mission came out, Metroid Fusion, and like a bunch of other sweet titles. Yeah, so that's when, and that's when I, you know, I had my own money, so I'm just like, I'm getting all this cool stuff, and it was that was big. Minish Cap. Oh my god, such a good Zelda game.
Yeah, I love that game.
Loved it.
I think for us too, like for Addison and I, you know, we were kids during the Pokemon craze. You know, we were real young, and so that, I think once Pokemon hit too, it kind of gave a second wind to that console as well, because it just blew up. I mean, everybody was playing that old black and white thing, like at our, you know, in like 99, that was 2000. Like
the only thing that made those link cables sell was just Pokemon.
For sure.
There was other games that like used it, but sure, I mean, like, in Pokemon was
you
the
were
one
able
you bought
to
it for.
Yeah, for sure.
Hmm. Yeah, that added so much lifetime. And Nintendo has always just been, you know, even they said like their first even home systems, they're like, they don't upgrade them until they're forced to. You know, like we probably would have got 5 more years of NES if the Genesis hadn't come out, because they were like, oh, I guess we have to do 16-bit now. All right. You know, and the Game Boy is, they had a, you know, the Sega tried to do the Game Gear, and there was the Atari Lynx, and they were color, and Nintendo's still like, nope, nope.
They were color, and the batteries lasted for 10 minutes before.
I had a Game Gear. So
AA batteries never lasted.
Yep. Man.
Yeah.
Game Gear was like, oh my gosh. I never even bought one when I was collecting more retro stuff, because I was just like, I would rather just not emulate this because I don't want to play on that thing.
I got a Sega CD for Christmas one year, and I returned the Sega CD to get a Game Gear.
Yeah.
You know, in retrospect, I don't know what would have been.
Yeah, same.
You know,
I wish I still had that Sega
CD. I mean,
CD.
the Sega CD is, I think, the only thing. I bought the first version, and then I was like, well, this was a waste of money, and I returned it. And then I bought later the clamshell version, only to play Lunar 1 and 2.
Hell yeah.
But, you know, I honestly can't think of, I mean, sure, Sonic CD was really awesome, but there's no other game that pops into my mind that, like the Double Switch, Night Shark, whatever. Like those are great. Yeah, Sewer Shark. Yeah, and I. So you might have actually done well. Get the Game Gear. Get the little TV tuner in there. Oh, watch some Saturday morning cartoons.
That TV tuner.
Remember when portable TV was like we felt it was the future?
Yeah.
You're like, I could watch TV anywhere. And now you're just like, you open up your phone, you're like, whatevs.
I want to go scream at people on the internet. Why would I want to watch TV?
Just going to sit here and stare at these GIFs in my pocket computer.
Yeah.
Well, much like Topher's situation, the Game Boy was my first actual, like, only mine kind of gaming hardware. I inherited my older brother's NES, but, like, I just had, you know, a couple games for that. But I remember for Christmas one year, I got the Game Boy with Tetris. And then my brother got me some Ren and Stimpy Game Boy game. I think it was the Game Boy version of the Vidiots game. And it's not very good. But I was a little kid and didn't know. But yeah, just so much Pokemon. And then my dad, years later, ended up getting a green Game Boy Pocket and Tetris. And he played that for like 20 years and would probably still be playing it if he like hadn't lost it. And like every once in a while he'll be like, I used to have a Game Boy. I don't know where it went. And like, I can see, like, I should just like try to find one.
Yeah,
for
you
him.
Should.
And, like,
yeah, he'd love that.
Yeah.
But, I have a lot of memories of him just in bed playing Tetris.
Well, the Game Boy had a ton of really good puzzle games. There were so many puzzle games on there.
And card games too.
Yeah. and some bad ones, but it had a lot of good ones too. I remember that Game Boy Color had Pokemon Puzzle Challenge, and it was just Tetris Attack, but Pokemon themed. But it was, I played the hell out of that.
And that Pokemon TCG game on there was really good too.
Yeah, it was pretty good. What was I going to say? There's something I was going to mention, and now I've forgotten. Oh, I remember now. Dyson talking about Lunar reminded me that the first time I ever played Lunar was not the best version, but it was Lunar Legend on the Game Boy Advance. And it's always been crazy to me how many RPGs they were able to cram onto the Game Boy and even the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah. Well, Pokemon was
the
first RPG I ever played.
Yeah.
It was, I think I picked up a copy of that, but it was, I maybe played it for like a little bit. One of the ones I did try and really hunt down was there was the Master System Collection or something like that. No, it was a Phantasy Star Collection for Game Boy Advance that had the original Master System Phantasy Star 1, which I own those. Like I have a Genesis, I have the converter, I have the cartridge, but you know, it's at the same time, it's not going to sit in front of my TV and play. You know, like I mean, I do. That's a stupid statement. Of course, I sit in front of my TV and play video games. That's all I do. Mm-hmm. You know, but it was just at the time, it was like, oh, cool, now I can bring it with me.
I actually hunted that.
You know,
that
much like that game, you know, there's no like map or anything. So, like, if you spend a week away from the game and you turn it on, well, I'm surrounded by trees and all the trees look the same. I forget where I'm at. You know,
I actually hunted that collection down after hearing Colette talk about Phantasy Star 2 and you guys', I think, Genesis episode or something like that, or Phantasy Star episode.
Yeah.
So, thank you, Colette.
We did.
One of my favorite RPGs for forever, but I remember the copy that Dyson's talking about, when I got it, I was like, yeah, I can finally play Phantasy Star 1, because I'd never played it. I didn't have a Sega Master System. Mm. And when I went back and played it, I was like, this is the most punishing game I've ever played.
Yep.
Like, you would take like one step on the map and you get attacked, like one pace attack, one pace attack. And I was just like, how did anybody get through this? Like, I wanted to, I just couldn't.
Yeah.
And if you get lost in one of the dungeons, which are really cool, I like, first person dungeons, and you just get lost in there, you're like, well, I'm fucked.
Reverse and hopefully you get out and save and not lose everything.
Yeah, and you're just like, well, I'm dead, all right, cool. And then it starts you over the beginning with nothing. You're like, there's a curve of there's I guess the best way to say it is, there's things that you will accept when they're of their time and you're probably younger, that today you're just like, I don't have time for this shit. You know, like, you want to play, you want to go back and do it. But, you know, like, you know, what has it been, 30 years? You put it in, you're just sort of like, okay. Yeah. I'll just watch a YouTube video of it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I know that, I think for me, because I definitely beat the first Phantasy Star on there, and something that's always kind of hit me about playing portably is, like, it's never bothered me whenever I've had to grind or have to do something that's a little more tedious when I'm playing like a Game Boy or Game Boy Advance. It just feels easier than like sitting in front of my TV for some reason.
Well, congrats on beating it. I've tried that multiple times. No, I haven't been able to do it.
That is a hero's run right there.
Yeah.
I was in college. I had nothing to do.
Nice. That's the best time to beat games. You're like, I'll do my homework the same time I always do it. Last minute. C's get degrees. Come on.
Yeah.
Absolutely, they do. Living proof.
I wanted to mention a couple games before we go. Just like some stuff that no one else has talked about that were very important to me. First of all, the Harvest Moon Game Boy games were a lot of fun.
Oh my God, Harvest Moon, Friends of Mineral Town. Yes. That was like, you're the girl, you're the boy, and you can romance all the guys in town.
Yep. And then I remember, because the first time I ever played, I had a friend who moved here from Japan, and he had a ton of Game Boy games that also never came out. He had like Shiren the Wanderer. He had a bunch of stuff.
He had a Game Boy Light too, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to talk about earlier. Yeah, he also had a Game Boy Light, which was a Game Boy Pocket that was backlit, and it was amazing. But we never got it here. I'm so mad. But
oh yeah, I know. Okay, I'm not going to lie. I Googled it and I was like, yes, I remember this. Mm-hmm. That would have been so dope. Yeah, there were a lot of games that I just didn't get a chance to play on Game Boy, just because I never had one at the time. And I went back and do it. It was an awesome system.
Yeah.
And I really, you know, I miss I don't miss portable gaming in the sense, because it still exists.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, like, there was just something convenient Like, I mean, I carried my 3DS with me everywhere for Animal Crossing. Mm-hmm. Fucking everywhere. And it's just like, now they've got the Switch, and they haven't said that they consider it a portable system, per se. You know, but it's portable. But still, there's something about, like, when I, like,
yeah,
even when
it's not, like, you're just playing games. Like, I went to visit my in-laws in China, and was like a 15-16 hour flight, and I just played Don't Starve.
Yeah.
Like, and the, shit to play at home.
I miss this about portable games too. Like, how many weird portable versions of home console games you would get. Like,
yeah,
like
the,
like side-scrolling Turok games or Tomb Raider games, or like, I don't know. It's just I kind of
miss
sometimes. But anyway,
If it's cool, I'm just gonna go through my list just real.
Oh yeah, quick. I forgot you had a list, dude. Sorry, go ahead.
So I think there's a little bit of a miscommunication, I think. And so mine is just Game Boy as a whole, including, you know, OG Game Boy through Game Boy Advance, which is what I played the most of, because on my Game Boy, I only had a couple games, and I was, you know, at an age where I didn't understand, like, saving money, and, you know, my parents were like, no, you can just keep playing Pokemon.
Wait, what age do you get to when that
kicks
in? Yeah,
I was about to say, I'm still at that age.
Well, I don't know. I'm pretty okay with my age. Anyways, so number 10 is the original Game Boy Advance Fire Emblem. And then
so good.
Number 9, WarioWare.
Well, in Japanese it was called Eureka no Ken, but it was Fire Emblem, the very first one here, right?
Yeah, it was the first one that got localized here.
Yeah.
Right?
So, number 8, Harvest Moon, Friends of Mineral Town, which we were just talking about. And then they also had more Friends of Mineral Town, where they changed a few things, and you play as the girl, which Stella was talking about a second ago.
Hey, could we get more game sequels that just say more? Like, if we got, like, a Breath of the Wild follow-up called, like, More Breath of the Wild.
More Mario Odyssey.
Okay with that. I'm okay.
Number 7 is Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga, which I can't believe we haven't mentioned yet.
Oh,
that game is so good.
Oh.
That
series.
Number 6, Link's Awakening DX. Number 5, Metroid Zero Mission, which we briefly talked about.
I really
like Zero Mission a lot. That was the first Metroid game I ever beat.
Why don't they ever bring that one to Virtual Console or download or anything? Like, it's always Fusion. Yeah. It's always Fusion.
I think so.
Yeah, same here. And it's just like, I get it. Fusion's okay. It's good. You know, it filled the gap. But like, Zero Mission is just like, why aren't they re-releasing this? This is what I can't understand. Yeah. It's just like, oh, we brought you Fusion. I'm like, give me Zero Mission. Motherfuckers. You can tell I feel strongly about this.
Number 4, Golden Sun. Number 3, Minish Cap.
Oh, wow. Nice one.
Yeah, Golden Sun 2 was like, that was my
first. I never played
2,
but I did play all the way
through.
So
many people are so mad at us that it took us this long to mention Golden Sun.
I know. I was going to mention Golden Sun, but I was waiting for somebody to mention it first.
Number 2, Tetris. And number 1 is Pokemon Gold and Silver. Those are like my favorite games of all time.
Oh, God,
they mean
so
much to me. I love Gold and Silver so much, and it's just like, I think probably the best sequel to ever be made to something, and so many improvements made on the original, and it's just incredible like how much they crammed into that. And then honorable mentions were Castlevania Aria of Sorrow, WarioWare Twisted, Advance Wars, and Super Dodgeball Advance.
Those are all great.
Advance Wars!
Ooh! I love Super Dodgeball Advance.
So much fun.
I did buy that. I was like, how can you not?
Hey, everybody has to stop talking now because it's time to talk about Kirby.
I love this.
Like, how are you? Because, like, I don't know. I just, when I think about the Game Boy, I mean, all across the Game Boy, I mean, that's where the series started, but you had, like, not just, like, Kirby's Dream Land 1 and 2. You also had, like, Block Ball, which is, like, maybe my favorite Kirby Game Boy game. Star Stacker, hell yes. I had a Japanese copy of Star Stacker my friend gave me.
Stop playing Star Stacker. That's all I ever play. And I could go through millions and millions and millions of levels until, like, it goes too fast where I can't do anymore.
And the music's so good. Oh, I love Star Stacker. And then what else? They had Kirby's Pinball Land on the Game
Kirby's
Boy.
Pinball's so good.
And then I'm trying to think of, and then the game, And of course, on the Game Boy Advance, they had a remake of Adventure, and then I think there was another one too. I didn't play that one though.
They had Nightmare in Dreamland. They had Mirror, the Squeak Amazing Squad. Mirror.
Yeah, that's the one I haven't
was
played.
Was there any more?
Wasn't Squeak Squad?
Yeah, Squeak Squad.
Was that?
I thought it was DS.
Yeah, maybe it was DS. Okay. Was there a Game Boy version of Dream Course?
Of Dream Course? I don't know.
I feel like maybe there was, so. But I may have just made that up.
Hold on, I'm gonna search because that's gonna be one of those things. That's gonna be one of those things that I'm gonna be like, "Hey, one of my
someone on another podcast is gonna be like, how do you host a podcast? No,
know anything?
Yep, there was a I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I just like I love Kirby games. They bring me so much joy, and they're the best. And anyway, I just wanted to say they're great.
Great.
Oh my God. Somewhere Chad is smiling.
When is Chad not smiling?
That's for you, Chad. Also, this one is for you, Chad. Know. Mother 3.
Oh, yes.
Aww. He's going to be so happy when he listens to this and he hears that.
I was the one who...
like, oh, my God.
I was the one who told Chad to play Mother 3, so I can take credit for that shit. I slipped into his Detoid DMs, and I was like, hey, Chad, this is a game you need to play. And he was like, okay. And he did. And he loved it.
It's so good.
Aww.
But anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
I love it.
Stella said she has a list. Okay. I want to hear hers because she has good taste in things.
Well, it's pretty much everything the same. It's like Kirby, Link's Awakening, Starland. But my GBA game list is like Rhythm Tengoku, of course, Zelda Minish Cap, Final Fantasy Tactics Advance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's put that on mine.
That's so good. I spent so many hours on Tactics Advance. I lost my original account, so I had to buy a new cart, and I have to start all over again.
Oh, jeez.
Just thinking about it. Ugh, it pains me. But there's also Kingdom Hearts, Chain of Memories, nice. Of course, Fire Emblem, Advance Wars, Golden Sun. Astro Boy was really good.
Yes! For me. Yes. Omega Factor,
Astro Boy,
hell
so
yes.
good.
Which one?
The Astro Boy. Boy. It was from.
Oh yeah!
It's made by Treasure.
I did play that. Yep.
So fun.
So good. Well, that's my list. Pretty much, it's pretty much everybody went through everything. But
there's also a Gunstar Heroes sequel by Treasure on the Game Boy Advance. That's great.
What?
Yeah. There yeah. Super Gunstar
Since
Heroes.
When?
Yeah. What? Forever. It's one of my favorite Game Boy Advance games.
You hear like Topher's headset hit the desk and running out, like out the house, and like, yeah. Hello?
Like running. Yeah.
This isn't a Game Boy game.
You hear the door slam right now.
This isn't a Game Boy game, but Jordan blew my mind earlier this year when he showed me the Cowboys of Mu Mesa game that is just it's just Sunset Riders 2, and I was like, what?
Okay,
it's just another Sunset Riders, and it just blew my mind.
That's a weird
game. Oh, I love Sunset Riders. That was a good arcade game, like or action game.
I love that game. Yeah, so much. Bury me with
There's
my
a...
money.
There's the meme. There it is.
Oh my god. Oh, you know where some good games I remember? Weren't there like some decent Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Game Boy games?
There were.
Yeah, or am I crazy?
I forgot about those.
Was the what is it? The something Stone Heist, I think, was on the was that on the Game Boy?
Oh, yeah.
What was it called?
I can't remember.
It wasn't Power Stone Heist.
A lot of people liked those, especially like early on the Game Boy. You know what else was on the Game Boy? Yeah. A lot of bad games. The first time whenever I bought my Game Boy, the first games I ever...
You can't have all winners on the system.
Yeah.
There's bad apples.
I remember
what were the ones that you bought?
My Game Boy, I bought, what was it? I bought Star Wars, Godzilla, and Jurassic Park. And God, they were all three just garbage.
Oh, wow.
That's the worst, too, because if you bought them as a kid or young, you were like, that's your precious game money, and you spent it on shit.
Yeah.
getting a bad game was, and even it's even, like, if you get it for Christmas or holidays or your birthday, and you're like, well, that kind of sucked. But when you spend your own money on it, it's just devastating.
Yeah, I can't.
It's just like, because you build up the hype in your mind. Yeah, you're just like, this is going to be the greatest thing.
Then you play it anyway, like, fuck you, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna...
You have no idea.
Not that bad.
You have no idea how many hours I have spent playing Fester's Quest.
It was one of three
NES games I had. I had Super Mario Bros. 3, Little Nemo, and Fester's Quest.
Oh, man. You know, that.
So hard.
Little Nemo's such a good game.
Yeah, Little Nemo's
that's
amazing.
That's awesome. I didn't realize you had that.
It's so it's so punishing.
Yeah, yeah, it super is, but it's so good. All those Capcom games are, God, on the NES are so good. Capcom had some really good stuff on the Game Boy, actually, now that we're talking about Capcom.
And those Mega Man games.
Yeah, they did some original Mega Man games, some original Mega Man X games on the Game Boy Color. They did a Bionic Commando for the Game Boy that's just a completely original Bionic Commando game. It plays way different.
Oh, I have that.
It's great. Yeah. I love that game. And they did, I'm trying to
think. Oh, you just reminded me.
Didn't they?
They did Minish Cap.
Do what? What'd you say? Minish Cap. Oh yeah, they did Minish Cap.
Yeah.
And they did Oracle of Ages and Seasons as well. They did those two.
Yep.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, there was supposed to be a third one apparently, but I guess they either never got around to it or the first two didn't sell well.
Yeah. For some.
Yeah, there was supposed to be a third part of it, like Oracle of Seasons, Ages.
That's crazy.
I don't remember. Yeah. Also, I was just looking up some stuff now to kind of like jog my Game Boy memory, and apparently that had a DuckTales on Game Boy that I've never played.
Huh.
And I want to find a way to rectify that.
Huh.
Yeah. I love DuckTales. That's so awesome. Good.
I'm trying to think if there's some other stuff. Because now I'm thinking about Konami too, because I remember I had Contra 3 for the Game Boy when I was a kid, which is crazy that they ported that. And it played really well. Whenever I went and started playing the SNES version afterwards, I was like, oh, it plays just like that Game Boy game I used to have.
Yeah, like you're seeing 16-bit systems, and you're like, oh, I've heard of this.
Yeah.
I've been playing it on my Game Boy.
Yep.
Yeah, well, they made a 16-bit. How about that?
How about that?
Give it a spin. Super Metroid, huh?
Yeah. If only it had been that way with Star Wars, because they put they ported Super Return of the Jedi to the Game Boy, and it was actually
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Dang, that's fine. Impressive.
It was much better than that awful Star Wars game that they ported. That game's just terrible on every console.
Oh, God, I was visiting a friend of mine, and he had gotten... I can't remember if it was a copy or, you know, a not ROM, but it was it was the Star Wars, the Japanese NES Star or Famicom Star Wars, which was like so loosely based on, like, you would fight Vader and he turned into a spider. We played that for hours.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
And there was like no continue, and it was
I
just
have
so
that.
We
it's cool because it came on like a chrome bluish kind of
Yes, that's it. Cool. That's what he had.
Man, I
want
that.
Yeah, and it was like impossible. You don't. Man. It's not good. It's really.
I know. I still want it.
Yeah. I understand that feeling.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm trying to think before anything. Oh, one other thing I want to mention. This is specific to our podcast listeners because it's just a meme that's just been around. But
tennis.
the Mario Tennis games and Mario Golf games on the Game Boy Color and Advance were really good and had full RPGs that where you played golf and tennis.
Yeah, those are really good ones. Yeah. Those are good ones to listen.
Those games are dope.
I remember the volleyball game on Game Boy being pretty fun.
Oh, Super Spike Volleyball or whatever?
No, it was just called Volleyball.
Oh, just called volleyball.
kind of like
the oh, go ahead. Say
the Famicom disk system volleyball.
Oh yeah. Okay, I know what you're saying now. There were that the Game Boy had some of that weird early NES stuff too, where you just had like baseball, tennis.
Yes.
No, that's a baseball.
They're like game.
Game. Yeah.
There it is. That's my favorite one.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Blackjack.
Blackjack.
You're like, okay, I'll just play blackjack on my Game Boy for eternity.
Thanks, man. Dad.
Yep, thanks, Dad.
This is my life.
Right? That's such a dad game.
Yep.
It's like, you either had the dad that had played blackjack or the dad who played chess, you know? Just
yeah.
the one
like,
of the two.
A collection of casino games.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I want it roulette. Okay. Mm-hmm. Can I have my Game Boy back? Thank you.
That's funny.
When do they mail you the money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. There was something else I was going to mention. I'm trying to remember. Oh, Dragon Quest games. There were some good Dragon Quest games on the Game Boy Color, too.
Yeah, I saw some at the store.
They had remakes of Dragon Quest 1, 2, and 3. And 3 was my first RPG ever was Dragon Quest 3 on the Game Boy. But that game rules.
Mm, cool. Yeah, I never played any Dragon Quest games.
Oh, Dyson, you wounded me. That's my favorite series.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There was a couple that they're
really good.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, I think there was somebody had an imported one on a Super Nintendo.
They're easier to play on the DS now.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
I think they're remaking them again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Dragon Quest V on the DS is maybe my favorite RPG ever, and it's only like 25 hours. It's great.
Dragon Quest V. Were you married two different girls?
Yeah, that's the one.
Ah. Nice.
That's all I remember about it, but I forgot the title. But I remember it was really, really good.
Yeah,
I was told to play that one.
It has like a generational story. So you start out as a little kid with your dad, and then it goes to like you, and then like your kids. It's so cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Anyway,
I'll check it out.
Yeah,
I don't know if I could ever tear myself away from Breath of the Wild.
Oh God, yeah. have you? By the way, jumping back to Breath of the Wild and the Switch. Like, I don't know. It's crazy to me to think that without the Game Boy, we wouldn't have the Switch, which is kind of insane. But
yeah.
It's crazy to think about, like, yeah, when I was younger, I loved playing this, you know, Link's Awakening, and now I'm playing Breath of the Wild on my big Game Boy with the detachable controller.
Yeah.
It's just wild.
I finally got like a little protective case. I was just kind of carrying it around in like a covering. Let's just do it rather than it was so neat when once it came out, like you didn't even realize like how much you wanted to take your game with you. Like if you're like, oh, it's time to go to bed, mm-hmm. like I gotta stop playing, and you're like, oh no, you don't. You know?
No sleep for you.
Yeah, exactly.
No, she'll stop me from
Right? Yeah, and then it's like now, you know, play stuff on PS4 and it's just like, well, I kind of want to be in bed, but I don't want to stop playing. It's like, oh, damn you. Why can't you be Switch?
Well, that's why you get a Vita. And
oh, God.
PlayStation TV.
I have a PlayStation TV and it's okay. It's better for...
Yeah, it's okay. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a Vita. I played like 3 or 4 really great games on it, and then I put it in the drawer and I haven't touched it since.
Mm-hmm.
It's only good for visual novels.
Yeah.
And Persona.
And Persona, I guess. But, you know, whatever.
Persona. Dancing all night.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of my old roommates bought a Vita literally just for Persona. He's just like, I'm that guy.
That's what I did too.
Same. Yeah, he beat it and then played it for hours, and then I think he just sold it or put it in a drawer too. back in the PSP days.
I have 2 of them.
You have 2 Vitas? Yeah,
nobody has 2 Vitas.
One and one. I do. I have a black one and I have a white mint one. That's why I had to get another.
So I have a question for you, Stella. What dark mystical powers do you unlock when you own 2 Vitas?
I don't know. Maybe I can rule the world with both of them.
I think if you own 2 Vitas,
maybe the back screens will give me some power. I don't know.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Rear touch.
We always called it rear touch.
You should. What happens if you like rub the 2 back screens together?
Double rear touch?
No, I don't know. Nothing happened.
Rub them together, it's bad.
Yeah.
I hear if you own 2 Vitas, you can make anime real.
Yeah. It opens a portal to anime.
Great. I'm gonna live my dreams now. Bye, guys.
Exodia and
Just don't tell Stella that. She's just, you know, you hear the headset hit the desk, feet running away sound.
Finally, my dreams are true. We're making all kinds of dreams come true this week. Next, I'm going to like announce an Ikaruga 2, and then Topher's really going to be gone.
I mean, Radiant Silver Gun 3.
Yeah, Rival School's a new one, and then he's gone. Oh, man.
Topher, did you get Ikaruga on Switch?
Yes, I did, and hold on, I hadn't played it for like 4 or 5 years when it came out, and everybody was like, oh, what's your score? Oh, fuck, man, I haven't touched it. Shit. God damn it, now I have to play Ikaruga.
I saw that on Twitter. Yeah, everyone's like, I'm beating you. And you're like, I'm but a grown-up. Fuck off.
I got to play 1,000 hours of Splatoon. Like, oh, come on.
I got 2 million points. It's like, yeah, I also played the first level.
That's awesome.
Oh, my God.
Have you seen the flip grip for the Switch, Topher? I thought that might be your alley, but anyway.
The flip grip? Oh, yes. I actually know the guy that worked on that.
Yeah.
Mike Choi.
We're Twitter friends. Yeah. That's awesome. It's it looks pretty rad. So if you guys haven't seen it, it's like a grip you can actually order. I don't know if you can still order it, but it's like it's like a grip where you can slide your Switch screen in, and then you put your Joy-Cons into the grip too, and it holds your Switch vertically for like shooters and stuff. It's super cool.
Yep. Oh, wow.
Yeah, really cool. I've seen that. That's really amazing.
Anyway, I just thought of that.
Is time for questions?
Yeah, let's do. You guys want to do some questions and stories from our listeners? That'd be cool.
Sure.
Sure.
I know we're running low on time. Do you need to head out, Dyson?
Oh, no, I'm good now. Thanks. Okay. Yeah, someone was supposed to come over, but it turns out it was yesterday, not today.
Oh, cool.
Same. Oops.
Oh, yeah, it was hilarious.
I actually have about 15 more minutes, and then I have to go and run and finish something. So if you guys could ask
all right,
you know, anything specific to me in that time.
I will. I'm going to look for one specific for Colette in that time because I want to hear more from her. Oh, that doesn't have to do with Game Boy. Come on. Actually, I'm just going to ask Colette this because I want to hear what her answer would be. Colette, what obscure retro game character would you want to see represented in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate?
Wow, what a question. My first thought is that I'd really like to see Nay from Phantasy Star 2.
Yeah! Oh, fuck!
Bring back
here
from the dead!
Fuck yeah! Cat ears for the win!
Yep.
Yeah, I'm totally predictable. But you should ask everyone that one, because that's a really good question.
Yeah, I want to hear from you guys,
I too. Can't follow that.
Topher, what about you? What obscure retro game character do you want to see in Smash Brothers? All right, well,
Kunio-kun.
Yeah, Kunio-kun. Kunio-kun.
Yeah, that'd be great. Actually, do you guys know who Kunio-kun is?
Yes.
Okay.
Nope. Okay. Yes. He's the dude from River City Ransom.
That would be cool.
If you've got a Japanese Switch account, which why the fuck don't you if you don't?
Yeah,
What's wrong with you?
For real.
Get one. Do it right now. There's a Kunio-kun collection coming out next month.
Hell yeah.
It's got all of NES games on it, and maybe a couple of Super Nintendo ones.
Awesome.
I might have to.
It's got like Downtown Special and all that stuff. So it's like 16 or 20 games.
Hey, can I tell you a fun story real quick about Kunio-kun now that you mentioned that? Very topical. My friend from Japan, he gave me a cartridge that was kind of very broken, but it still worked for the Game Boy. And it was a Kunio-kun game for the Game Boy that was very, very good. And later on, I found out that it was released in the US as just Double Dragon 2 on the Game Boy. But they did all the sprites differently.
Wow.
Anyway, that was my first Kunio game.
Double Dragon 2. Yep. Nice.
All right, Stella, what about you? Give me an obscure game character you want in Smash.
Madam Meow Meow from Link's Awakening.
Nice.
I don't know.
That's pretty rad.
That's what I can think of right now.
And
the spirit.
Just as a spirit? Yeah, that'd be great. Those spirits, come on. They're not doing trophies this time. They're just doing little... Anyway, we won't get into that. Hey, Dyson, what about you?
I think the most obscure one would probably be like, I don't know. I've just been thinking about Adventures of Lolo a lot lately and wondering why that game is not back.
I love that game.
It's such a good puzzle game. It would be perfect for my iPhone. It would be perfect for Switch. And I'm just like, why? Why not?
Sakurai made it too. So, you know, Lolo could be in there.
Yeah. I didn't know that. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's dope. All right.
Lolo's always in the Kirby games.
Oh. I had no idea. I haven't played a lot of Kirby games, sorry.
It's a boss.
Everyone's going to be like, what's wrong
with
you?
They're like boss characters.
One, I would like to see more fun, because we were talking about Capcom games and the Disney license. I'd love to see like Scrooge McDuck or Little Nemo in Smash.
Hell yeah, Little Nemo.
Yeah.
Little Nemo.
Right?
Little Nemo with all the suits, like the frog suit.
Yeah, Little Nemo can
be. Exactly.
He could play like Kirby.
Yeah.
And you can have a Kirby-like mechanic where he throws candy at, like, one of the other players and then jumps in their mouth.
He's, like, jumping in their mouth. It's like...
Well, like, his instead of his, and his grab or throw is him, like, jumping on your, like, the character's, other character's back and riding him around. Like, you can ride him right off a cliff. Like, because, like...
Dollars, please.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Or, like, or Scrooge McDuck with, like, you know, the downward... pole, and then like his like ultra smash is just like giant dollar signs just like knocking you out.
Jordan, did you have
Make that game.
Oh, that's a good I don't know, actually I don't have one off the top of my head. I mean, I have my same answers. I still want to see Isaac in there because I just love Golden Sun. But you know, I try to think of like something more obscure and now I'm having trouble. What about you?
The ones that came to mind were Cookie and Cream.
Oh, from like Cookies.
Nice. Oh, I know exactly what you're talking
going
about.
Obscure.
And also, deep cut. And also Pocky and Rocky.
Hell yeah.
Pocky and Rocky.
Nope. I've got mine. I've got mine. It's fucking Mr. Yang. or Dr. Yang.
F and Dr. Yang.
Dr.
Yang. F and Dr. Yang.
Oh, man.
I would love to see more combo... characters like Ice Climbers. That would be pretty dope.
Yeah,
because like if you took the two dudes from River City Ransom and Ice Climbers, like they're fighting together, that would be dope. And so there's Pocky and Rocky and Cookies and Cream.
Toad and Toadette. Cool.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That would be great.
I think, oh man, so super mad that you can't play as Toad or Toadette in the new Super Mario Party.
Yeah, come on.
But
what? That's messed up.
Yeah,
can't you?
Bad choice.
Colette, do you have time for one more?
I do.
So we have one from @HopscotchPlus on Twitter. Said, so real talk, Game Boy Mini concept, top three games you throw in that aren't obvious. I'm talking Kid Dracula, Mole Mania, etc.
Oh, we even talk about Mole Mania, damn.
Mole Mania! Oh, that was a good game.
Yeah.
Man, that's hard. I don't...
I mean, it can be stuff that we've already talked about. I think the main criteria is that it's a Game Boy game and it's not... super obvious.
Yeah.
I mean,
super obvious.
I feel like that's a tough one for me to answer, not having played a lot of Game Boy games in the first place, though.
True.
Like, it might be, you know what I mean? Like, it might be better for the others to be able to talk to that one.
True. There's a part of me that was like, man, what if Chad just came on here and was like, hey, this is happening. It was like, here's your Game Boy Classic. We're announcing it. Exclusive.
No one would
believe. Oh, my God.
Everyone would just be like, what? Why would they announce that on this podcast?
On this terrible podcast.
The podcast would suddenly jump to, like, top of charts in iTunes. Yeah. And you're like, well, that's weird.
That would actually maybe be a nightmare.
Yeah.
We'd just get all these crazy people yelling at us for... just dumb things.
Yeah,
you'd be getting fact checked.
Got mad at us that we wouldn't like drive 2 hours to hang out an arcade with him.
Yeah, no.
Aww.
It's weird how people feel entitled to you when you are on the internet somehow.
Yeah. If you have any kind of like public persona and you've like talked, you know, as yourself, like the way we're talking right now, people will be like, "Oh, I feel like I know you," and you're like, "But you don't actually."
Yeah, you don't, but. Speaking of which, Colette, I really love hanging out on your Instagram and seeing what you've been up to. I'm just kidding.
I feel like I know you.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is I'm coming over for dinner.
Real talk about that. Probably like once every 3 to 4 months, there's someone that follows me. It's a girl, so it's like not as creepy, but it's still a little creepy. Every 3 or 4 months, she like likes like my last 50 posts in a row.
Yikes.
Wow.
And I'm always like is this okay, because I feel like maybe it might not be.
Hey, that's just bad internet etiquette. You just don't do that to anyone.
So I don't really know what to say, so I just kind of ignore it when it happens.
Well, maybe
I'll get that sometimes. Like my Instagram is private too. But yeah, it's like every once in a while it'll be like, your friend liked 10 of your photos. And I was like, oh, interesting algorithm you have there, Instagram. You know.
Well, I want to hear from the rest of you then. What games would you put on your Game Boy Mini? Like your top three?
Well, I want to try this DuckTales one. Like any game ever?
When I think of the Game Boy Classic, if it comes out, I'm thinking like, well, yeah, there's going to be Mario Land on there. Yeah, there's going to be Link's Awakening. But like what stuff
is obvious? Is there a Lolo Game Boy game? I want that.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah, because I would just probably want... I would want to see some of the mainstay classics, like, you know, the Castlevanias or the DuckTales, yeah, or, you know, TMNT, stuff like that. Stuff that... not necessarily the obvious ones. Like, of course, it's going to have, like, Metroid 2 and Link's Awakening and Tetris and Super Mario Land and Kirby's All-Stars and et cetera. But I'd like to see stuff that maybe, not, or, you know, like Gargoyle's Quest. Yeah, that would be sure. really fun. And Mystic Quest. Or was it Final Fantasy Adventure, I think, would be great. And maybe stuff that they didn't... like, they, if they could, if you know, since the pie in the sky idea, like, you know, give us some of the sequels to these really cool games that came out only in Japan.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know, you could probably get somebody to translate those text files, you know, for not that much, you know, yeah. It's sort of like, you know, and I would love to see some of that. Cause I think there was also like another Secret of Mana that came out on a handheld. I may be wrong. I usually am, but you know, just something like that's interesting. And then like maybe a lot of fun puzzle or challenge games, you know, like yeah. When you were talking about like Quix, Topher or whatever, you know, something like that I think would be really interesting to see. Because you know, if you have, you know, a good selection, like the NES Classic was good because it had a lot of RPGs and it had a lot of fast play games.
Yeah.
You know, so it would be good to have some stuff in there that is unique to a handheld, where, you know, not like, you know, Casino
especially
Kid
stuff, but like the Heian Kyo Alien that I mentioned, like I don't think that's ever been on another system.
Yeah.
That game at all, I think. That, I mean, there was the arcade cabinet.
I've never
cabinet,
even heard of that
and
one.
There was the Game Boy game, and I think that's it.
Did it get localized, or is it Japan only?
No, it was localized.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I've never even heard of it. That's surprising to me. I'm definitely going to check it out, though. There, and you'll be happy to know, Dyson, there is an Adventures of Lolo Game Boy game, so
it looks
a possibility.
Like it, oh! It looks like it didn't come out in America, though. It looks like
oh,
it was
really?
Only Europe and Japan.
Those freaking Europeans, come on.
Ah, bastards.
So polite.
Hey guys, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I gotta bounce.
Hey Colette, right. Thank you so much for coming. You're amazing. Hey. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I bought your book, Colette.
I'm gonna buy your book. You. I'm gonna buy it.
I bought it while we were talking. It's going to my Kindle now.
I love it. Well, it's been really nice to just hear all of you guys again. So I love all of you, and thank you for having me. Okay?
Bye.
Love you,
Colette.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
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 I ended up on this HAL Laboratory Wikipedia page, and I don't know how I didn't talk about Pokemon Pinball.
Oh, Pokemon Pinball
was such a good Game Boy game.
Did HAL
make
that?
Yeah. That was really good.
Yeah, it was so
love
great.
Love that game.
And the Game Boy Advance one was really good, too,
yeah.
as well. Dang, that's crazy. Okay, what about you, Topher? What Game Boy games? You said, what's it called? It's called Hey Something Alien. How do you pronounce that?
Heian Kyo Alien. Maybe that's why I didn't tell her, because nobody could pronounce it.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
They should have just called it Kyoto Alien.
I'm definitely going to purchase that right into my ROM collection tonight.
Yeah, it's really fun. Yeah. Really fun. The music's fucking awesome. You know, it's just, and there's not a lot to learn. Like, once you learn to do it, it's you know, you can just play the shit out of it. It's a really fun game.
That's cool. I'm going to check it out. Oh, I'm trying to think what games I would put on mine. I think I'd put Bionic Commando for sure. I really want Castlevania 2 because nice. That's actually like a legitimately good game. The first Castlevania Adventure on the Game Boy is very bad, but the second one is actually legitimately great. I don't know. Yeah, I want Tetris. They'd have to put Tetris on there, but just how would that even happen with the way the licensing works now? That would be, I'd be so sad if it didn't have Tetris, but
I think they would just have to pay some money, but I think I can't imagine them not putting Tetris on a Game Boy Classic.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever, maybe. What about you, Stella? What games would you put on there?
Oh gosh, it's quite difficult. There's, it's not so obvious.
Mm-hmm. What if it had a Game Boy camera? What if it had
Kirby
a Game Boy camera
Star
built
Stacker
into it?
In there. Oh, that'd be great.
Kirby Star
yeah,
Trek
let's
amazing.
Get that started. Can we have that?
Yeah.
And also just a small mini printer.
Yes.
A thermal printer that hardly printed anything. Yes. I printed out my cat, like millions and millions of pictures of my cat. She was just lying there and I was like, here, I'm gonna take so many pictures, and I filled up the album and I printed them all out and I stuck them on the wall.
You know, I just
threw the pixels.
Why are all these terrible pictures of our cat on the wall? I was like, but they're from this printer. I did it from my Game Boy. And she's like, oh, okay. Yeah.
I was gonna say, yeah, a built-in Game Boy camera would be incredible. Also, yes, the one you mentioned earlier would also be great.
The Kirby Star Stacker.
Kirby Star Stacker. I just
here's this game.
Oh, there it is. Sweet. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
I just remembered another game that I didn't talk about that I need to talk about real quick. So in Japan, it was called like Tatsugeki Tank, I think it was called. And when it came to the US, it was called something else. And now I've forgotten it. Oh, no. It was also made by HAL Laboratories. Maybe Addison can find it on his list. Anyway, there's a tank game on the Game Boy. The only way I ever got to play it was on a little pirate cartridge of like 20 games that I bought from a Hispanic man at a flea
market. The Chinese cartridge. Yep. I had one of those too. Those were really, really good.
So I found the NES branded Game Boy Advance SP, right?
Game Boy Advance.
So I found that. So there was that. What was the Game Boy?
Advance SP.
Okay, yeah, so it was NES colored, and I found it, you know, surprise thrift store for $5. And it had a copy of one of those Super Mario Advance games, and probably like, I think it said like Super Mario Advance 1 and 2 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was legit a like Chinese knockoff cart, because I don't know who owned it before me, but like you tried to put it in, and it was like, this is not a real cart. Like it was just, I've never seen it before ever, and it would put it in, and it was just like, it was just like, this is not a Game Boy Advance platform cart. And I was like, oh shit.
I always wanted a bootleg Pokemon game so bad. Like one of my favorite Twitter accounts is called like Pokemon Vietnam or something. It's like just like a ebot of like all this dialogue from like a bootleg Vietnamese Pokemon cartridge.
Yeah.
I want one so bad. There's some wild, like, bootleg Pokemon cards out
there.
Yeah,
it's buck wild. It's crazy. Oh, that game.
When I worked at GameStop, there used to be a person that would always come in to trade in GBA cards that weren't from Nintendo. They were like little bootleg ones, but they had the sticker and the label, and we just took them in, and he always asked for cash for trade-ins.
Oh, no.
That's when GameStop, when they used to do that, he used to bring them in, and I'm like, we can't take these anymore. Because I know that the official ones have Nintendo under the cart when you look under, but the ones he traded in, they didn't have those. It had the game in it, because I actually tested the game. He's like, oh no, these are the real games. It's like, are you sure?
You know what's funny
that?
Though is that, like in other countries, that's like people's nostalgia. Like if you talk to somebody from Brazil, they're like, oh fuck yeah, 51-1 or whatever that shit was.
Yep. I've still got mine sitting right here next to me. Now that I think about it, it's,
oh, you remember here. Jump Guy 3? Oh, that shit was dope.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, everybody knows
Jump
that
Guy
one.
Jump Guy 3.
Uh-huh.
Super Alien Baseball.
Yep.
I love how generic those names are.
I just remember the U.S. name for that tank game. It's called Trax, T-R-A-X. And everyone should play that game. It's very, 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 very good. And it's like a shmup, but you're a tank, and you move around with the D-pad, you rotate with the A button, and you shoot with the B button. Yeah, it's like maybe in my top 10 Game Boy games, and like no one's played it. So yeah, everybody should try it. You can beat it in like an hour or two as well. It's really short.
I just have to say real quick, I was looking up the game that Topher was talking about, and the publisher is called Nihon Busan, and Google showed me other games that they had published, and one of them is a Japanese NES game just called Booby Kids.
Oh yeah, I remember that. I maybe have that.
There's like these little
booby
kids and like a dinosaur chasing them.
Yeah,
and
it's just called Booby Kids.
It's just
for
called
sure.
Booby Kids. And I want it real bad.
Oh man. All right, well, let's close out these questions. I think we're pretty close to the end of them here. We're not going to go through all of them, but
I think most of the other ones that I have here are just like people's Game Boy memories.
Oh yeah, I want to hear a couple of those, because a lot of these questions we've already talked about. So
at Bread or Cheese sent in saying, during long vacation car rides, I would sit on the Game Boy, the big-ass brick one, so my brothers would think we forgot it, and then I would find a private area to play a shitload of Donkey Kong Land, Tetris, or Super Mario.
That's so good.
That's a good way to do it, especially if you shared your Game Boy. Like, yeah. I had to share my a system with my two brothers. And my older sister never played, but I always had to share. I always had to watch over their shoulder every time they played something and wait for my turn. And then whenever they died, I would get so excited when they would die or lose. I was like, yes, it's my turn, finally.
Oh, man.
There was my brothers and I shared a Game Boy too, but I was the oldest, and I still feel bad about this. I just kind of took it and was like, no, mine. I still feel a little guilty.
Never feel guilty about that. They probably forgot about it by now.
Yeah, because I had the little AC adapter thing, and I'd be like, oh, there's no batteries, and then I would like go to my room.
That's so good. Dude, I used to get in so much trouble from my parents for stealing remote control batteries.
Oh, me too. I took all the remote control batteries because there was just no extra batteries around. Yeah. You're like, oh, where else am I going to get batteries? I need to play this.
Yep. Mom, I was going to lose all this save data. I got to in Final Fantasy Legend 2 or whatever. I got to use these batteries. I was trying to think. One of my favorite memories of the Game Boy is like how I'd be sitting in the back seat of a car at nighttime, and it would be starting to get, you know, dark, and I'd be like, oh god, the light's leaving. Oh god, I can't just stop here. And I would be holding my Game Boy up, trying to catch the headlights of the car behind us to keep playing.
That's classic. Oh god, no, I would actually turn on the car light inside the car, and then I would just have light beaming down.
Yeah, see, it's like I wish I could do that, but I didn't have cool parents like you, apparently, Stella. So,
I mean, he was like, "Just turn that off after 10 minutes." I was like, "But I'm so close to the save point. Please, 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 let me have it a little longer."
Did you guys ever do the thing?
I had to cry and wail to get my way.
Did you guys ever do the thing where, and like maybe this was just anxiety emerging in me at a young age, but when playing like something like Pokemon, I would just be like, okay, I saved. I have to save again.
Yes, save more.
I do that to this day, two or three times
just to make sure.
I save 5 or 4 times just to make sure I saved.
I still do that, honestly, with games.
I still do
that. Like, when I'm playing Legend of Zelda or Breath of the Wild, like, save. And, you know what? I'm going to do that again. I'm playing the new Tomb Raider on Xbox One, and I'm just like, it really, like, makes me anxious that there's no actual, like, save. It's like, you have to kind of go sit by a campfire, and I'm like, did it really save? So I'll sit by the campfire, like, 3 times just to make sure. It's just like, I was like, why doesn't it have a save slot? Motherfuck, come on. That's
awesome. It's just like me with Yakuza games. Like, you could save anywhere, but I still get paranoid and I have to go back to the screen and save it like 3 or 4 more times. Like, okay, I saved.
Yeah, I don't trust. You're not alone.
I don't trust anything.
I love Yakuza so much.
I need to read Taylor's story now.
Oh, okay. I was going to read that one next.
So our friend Taylor, she sent us a story. She said, this probably doesn't qualify, but back when I was in grade school, I found a Ziploc bag full of Pokemon cards walking to school. I didn't like Pokemon, though, and some kid traded me a Game Boy Color for them. Scam of the century.
Yes.
And I was just like, you're awful.
That's awesome.
I was like, you're awful. And she's like, I'm an entrepreneur. This is like what I do. So
she's smart.
It's amazing. Yeah. Oh my God. She definitely won that deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, holy definitely. Cow.
Somebody else said that they the first memory of playing the Game Boy was playing Pokemon and wandering around the house for 20 minutes because they couldn't figure out that you had to step on the carpet to leave the house. That was like so many things with Game Boy games too, is like sometimes like those black and white graphics, you were like, what am I looking at here? Like, where am I supposed to go? Especially for those bigger ones.
You're looking at 60 frames per second, region free.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Dale North also mentioned that the Super Mario Land soundtrack made his head explode on the first notes.
Aw.
Hell yeah.
I love Dale North.
That's great music.
Yeah, absolutely. Dude, freaking...
Yeah.
There's a guy, Alberto Gonzalez. He's a composer who did the Smurfs soundtrack, weirdly, and like some other like licensed games, but he also did the Turok Game Boy games soundtrack. Those are not good games, but the soundtracks for those Turok Game Boy games are freaking incredible. And if you ever want to just look those up on YouTube, you will have a time, because he's a great composer.
I will do that later, because I've never heard of those.
Yeah, they're very good. Super 90s, like, club music. They're excellent.
Music on a Game Boy.
Yep, on a Game Boy.
Nice. Yep. Oh, my God.
Interesting.
All righty. Well, Addison?
I think that's about it.
I think that's all the kind of questions and stories that we have already talked about.
I don't want this to end, but I think we're kind of at the end.
I think we're about to round it out. So, hey guys, do you have anything else that you want to add before we close off?
I'm good.
Everyone check out Desert Child.
Oh yeah.
You will love it. It's on Switch.
This will not be the last time that Desert Child is talked about on the show.
We'll be sure to get to do a review of that one. So,
yeah.
And then I wanted to go ahead. I just wanted to tell you guys, I know Colette's gone now, but I just wanted to say thank you to you one more time. Destructoid was my very first internet community ever. I wouldn't have my best friend. I wouldn't be friends with all my friends on Twitter. I wouldn't have gone and hung out with all my friends at PAX West this year
Wouldn't have gone to Dan's wedding.
Wouldn't have. There's so many people that I wouldn't know and so many friends I wouldn't have if it wasn't for your goofy podcast. And I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. And thanks for listening. And congrats on your 100th episode.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, congratulations.
I wish we had Chad here to sing a song.
Oh, yeah. I wish we had Chad to sing a song.
It would be about dolphins.
Yeah.
It sure would.
Well, thank you guys. Before we close out, I want to go ahead and say thank you to all of you for listening this week. And don't forget that our intro and outro music are from Game Chops. We always want to thank Game Chops for letting us use their music for our intro and outro. And if you have any other awesome memories of the Game Boy that you'd like to share with us, feel free to hit us up on Twitter. You can also follow us on Facebook, and you can also email us at pocketoid@gmail.com. And we'd love to hear more from you guys. So, feel free to follow us on our website or, you know, wherever you listen to podcasts, of course. And I want to say thank you to our guests one more time. We hope that you have an excellent week, and we will see you next week.
Yep, I hope you guys have an amazing week.
Aww.
Perfect.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys later.
Well, thanks, guys.
Yep.
Take care.
Bye. Bye, Cha.
That was amazing.